Acts, this time to chapter 16. But before we get into the broadcast today, dealing with another accounting or two of born-again people, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father in word of prayer. Will you join us today as we pray? Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy great presence at this time with glad hearts that thou hast spared our lives throughout the past week. And as we think about thy word at broadcast time today, may we understand that it is a word that will endure forever. May we understand it is that which goes beyond the transitory scenes of life and even will place us in a position where we can stand before thee at the final day. And then we realize that we will once again hear the great decree as thy word teaches. So in this life, may we speak where the Bible speaks, and may we be silent where it is silent. We pray on the broadcast today for the many who are ill, in nursing homes, hospitals, convalescent homes, wherever they might be. And our heart goes out for those who are in sorrow this day. We trust, Father, that thou will be with them. May they have comfort as they think of thy word and of the strength that thou can give for a trying time. We pray for our nation, nations of the world, that men may be conscious of the fact that thou truly art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. Now help us in this proclamation today, Father, that thy name may be glorified. Be with those who make this broadcast possible and with all who can hear it. This is our prayer we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, since we talked to you on the broadcast last week, we left the city of Caesarea, where we encountered Cornelius and his household, and how the conversion of Cornelius and members of his household were evidenced in chapter 10. But in the 16th chapter, we have the Apostle Paul coming along with Silas to the city of Philippi in Macedonia. And I'm led to believe from what historians tell us that this is the first time that the gospel was preached on the continent of Europe. First recorded a case we have. Now, we're not going to say that the people were scattered abroad in the 8th chapter of Acts after the stoning of Stephen, that some of them had not gone to this area. But simply from the standpoint of Luke's account in the book of Acts, we have the Apostle Paul along with Silas here coming to a place of where they are in the city of Troas, and dropping down to verse 9 in the 16th chapter, we have this reading. And there was a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. You see, this gospel was being taken forth like Jesus had said when he gave that great commission, as it is called, in the 16th chapter of Mark's account of the gospel. Perhaps you've read that, and you've thought about it, and you meditated upon it time and time again. You know, that's where it says that Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Then he said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So Mark 16, 15, and 16 is being carried out here. And undoubtedly this is why the apostle Paul, along with others of his company, when this thing was made known, they gathered the thought in their mind that the Lord was calling them for to preach the gospel unto the people in Macedonia. Well, he goes on to say in the sequence here in the narrative, Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. Then we get the thread of thought here as Luke records it as an inspired historian of certain women who on the Sabbath day went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sit down, Paul says, as Luke records it here, and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now keep in mind the great knowledge that the Apostle Paul had of the law of Moses. How that back at the time you're aware of the fact that he was a part of that great Pharisee body, he would have become a so-called modern-day Moses for the people of Israel if he'd have continued on in Judaism. if he had continued on opposing the followers of Christ. But he knew that law of Moses just like you know your back hand, your back of your hand. And so they were talking about this law of Moses. I am sure that since the law of Moses and the prophets were read in the synagogue, and since these people were conscious of the fact that there were many things found in God's word that would be a benefit, that if there were any Gentiles there, and it could well be that these people were Gentiles, that they had heard, no doubt, something about that law of Moses. They had meditated upon it. And so we are just trying to give you a background here of why these people were praying with their belief in God. And if there were any Jewish people here, which I really can't tell you whether there were or not, that there was emphasis placed upon the fact that there was a God and that he was the God of the Israelites. Whatever the case might be, you can just turn that over in your mind. It talks about a certain woman in verse 14 by the name of Lydia. She was a seller of purple and of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now we know from what is found in verse 15 that follows, that Paul much preached the gospel to her, just like Peter did to the household of Cornelius, and just like Philip did to the people of Samaria and to the man in the chariot in chapter 8. But notice verse 15 if you're following. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful of the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You see, when you read this narrative here, you have to consider the conversion of Lydia in the light of the other accounts of conversion. Oftentimes, when the born-again subject is being discussed, and when it is approached from the standpoint of looking at the vivid accounts of what people did to become Christians, we just simply make a scorecard, so to speak, and we check those things that are mentioned in each account of conversion. Now, here we would know that this woman heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, for that's what Paul was preaching. He said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So I'm led to believe that he must have preached Christ to this woman and to members of her household, just like Peter did to Cornelius. And we're aware of the fact that since the gospel was preached, she believed it. It mentions to us, you know, in that 15th verse, she said, If you have judged me to be faithful of the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she insisted that they come. So belief in Jesus Christ as a Lord must have truly been foremost in her mind. And of course, she was baptized. I might let you in on a point that I'm sure a good many of you that listen to the broadcast today already know. But in all the accounts of conversion that we've been dealing with that deal with the new birth, we always have the case of people hearing, and we always have the case of them being baptized. I'm led to believe that this composite picture of what people did to become Christians must be before our mind. So if you've been listening to the broadcast telling about the new birth, and as we approach this subject from the standpoint that when people are converted to Christ, when they're born again, they must be born of the water and the Spirit. So whatever took place in their conversion, as it is recorded here, must have included a birth of the water and of the Spirit. I believe that's the way to preach this subject. I believe that's the way to understand it. I believe that's the way to get away from all of the so-called theology, where there have been reams of paper spent upon writing and printing what it means to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Just simply take the concrete example of what people did to become Christians. And so you're going to find, as we've told you before, that there are five things that are very pronounced. The gospel had to be heard. They had to believe it, for as Paul said in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And keep this thought in mind: when one comes to God, there's only one way for him to come. Just like Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it must be by Jesus Christ. And of course, after a person hears that word and believes it, then there's a great desire to turn from their sin to that which is better, turning their back upon the devil and putting their eyes in the direction of Christ, and then announcing with their mouth what they believe in their heart, that Christ is the Son of God. And like the case of this woman Lydia, who apparently was of the number who gathered by the riverside to pray, that she was baptized. Someone says, why was she baptized? Well, the Apostle Paul is preaching to her here. Let's see what he says about why he was baptized. In Acts 22:16, in a speech, Paul made it very plain. When he spoke of Ananias, the disciple who came to him under the instruction of the Lord to tell this man what he must do, that is found in Acts 9:6. He was told to go into the city and be told thee what thou must do. It isn't what you can do if you want to. It isn't what you can do if you think it's all right. But he said what you must do, and he was talking about his salvation. You recall that Ananias came in, and as Paul gives it to us, and Luke records it in Acts 22:16, Ananias said, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So we're led to believe that since she did believe, she had a sincere desire in this belief to be baptized into Christ. And then we don't want to leave you on the broadcast today in the city of Philippi without talking to some extent, as time will permit, about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. It's found in the same chapter. You know, this is a man who came trembling before Paul and Silas following the earthquake in the prison and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And then the wonderful answer given by Paul in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But might I ask you, how could this man believe on the Lord Jesus Christ without hearing the gospel? So you see, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ here is a general statement. This man undoubtedly is a jailer, was not a Jew, and I am sure that if he had any religion at all, it could have been paganism. No doubt he had worshipped many gods. There was one that he was to believe in now, and we're aware of the fact that Paul carried this out, because it says in verse 32, and they, referring to Paul and Silas, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And then after hearing this wonderful gospel, they took him out the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, he did. And then it says he was baptized, he and all his straightway. And again, notice, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with his house. Again, I ask you, was this man born again? Now, if you don't know, if you can't answer that question, and you simply say, well, I don't know, I want you to think, what kind of a condition was he in if he were not born again? What else must he do? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So it's an interesting point when you consider this whole score that's given to us by Luke in this wonderful writing. You see, the people did hear the word, they believed it, and they obeyed it. And that's what we're asking you to do on the broadcast today. This subject of the new birth may be a vital subject to you. Well, Jesus said it was vital. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom, as he put it in John 3:3. He was talking to Nicodemus, who had asked, what kind of a person are you? How can a man be born again when he is old? Jesus said he must be born of the water and the Spirit. I believe that the jailer and members of his household had done exactly this. We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today. It's been good to be with you. Tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast and be with us next week as we leave Philippi and journey to another interesting point for conversion.